Okay, we're coming back now to Luke chapter 22. We spent, I don't know how many messages we have brought from Luke chapter 22, 71 verses. But today, from verse 63 down to verse 71, and I pointed out in the reading earlier, there are two vital questions that are asked here. Did you notice that in verse 67? This council of religious, self-righteous Pharisees asked the Lord Jesus Christ, Art thou the Christ? And then the second question they asked, Art thou then? When he said, You'll see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God. Art thou then? Are you saying that you are the Son of God? And the Lord said, You're right. I am. Now, these violent and vicious enemies of our blessed Savior asked the Lord probably the most two important questions that we should ask ourselves. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ of God? Do you believe that He is the Christ of God? Secondly, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son? Do you believe that? I do. I believe He is the Christ of God. I believe that He is the very Son of God who came to accomplish our salvation. So that'll be the title and subject of the message this morning. Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Son of God? Now every believer can answer both these questions without hesitation, without wavering, because God has granted and given unto us saving faith. Saving faith does believe. We believe and we are sure thou art the Christ of God. Is Jesus of Nazareth the very Christ of God, the anointed one in all his office as prophet, priest, and king? Every believer can say without hesitation, without reservation, without any hedging, without any compromise, the Lord is the Christ of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the very Christ of God. We can absolutely say without wavering, without compromise, without hesitation, not being ashamed, yes, He's my Christ. He's my Christ to represent me before God. Secondly, is Jesus of Nazareth the very true and only begotten, well-beloved Son of God? And every believer can answer in a most absolute and positive way, yes, He is God, our Savior. We can chime in with the Apostle Paul. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh, and we dwelt, and He dwelt among us. Now, remember from our previous studies that the Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested in the garden. It was late at night, and when they came to arrest Him with that small army, the Lord and His apostles, the Lord, Peter tried to defend the Lord, and the Lord said, put up your sword. The Lord willingly submitted unto them, and they arrested Him. It says there in verse 63, and the men held the Lord Jesus and mocked Him. Remember, it says back in verse 54, then took they Him and led Him and brought Him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed at a distance, at far off. So all this brutal treatment that the Lord received, that is recorded here in verse 63, verse 64, and verse 65, it happened in the house of the man who was supposed to be representing God to the people, the high priest. The high priest participated and gave sanction to the treatment of God's Son and the Christ of God. Now, it says down in verse 66, as soon as it was day. Evidently, this brutal treatment of the Lord of glory went on all night long. Where it says they mocked him in verse 63. It says that they smote him. If you read Matthew 26 and Mark 14, you'll find also that they spit in his face, that they mocked him in his office as the prophet of God. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy who it is that smote thee." And many other things. Too many things that can even be written down for us here. We'd be all morning reading everything that they said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. "You're a devil. You're a wine bibber. You're a gluttonous man." All these different things that they had conjured up in their mind to speak evil against the Lord's Christ. That's what they were doing. And this went on all night long. And the Lord endured these things. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Now, verse 66, the next morning, as soon as the day, remember the rooster started crowing because the sun was coming up. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the chief priests and the scribes, they came together against the Lord and against his Christ, and they led him into their council room. This was the complete Sanhedrin. I believe someone said that there was, I think, 70 men on this council. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine what he looks like. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. He's been spit on. He's bruised. He's bleeding. And he's standing before these religious men. And they say to him, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go." Verse 69, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And they said, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You're right. You say that because I am. I am the Son of God." Now, when they brought him before this full council to further accuse him and condemn him to death, and that's what they were after. You remember all along they were planning how to end his ministry, how to put him to death. Many times they sought to do so, to stone him. You remember in Luke chapter 4, when he declared unto them the sovereignty of God in salvation, that he'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy. You remember they sought to throw him off the cliff, and he simply passed through their hands. It says in Matthew chapter 12, when the Lord healed that man who had the withered hand, when the Lord said, "Stretch forth your hand," and he did, and his hand was restored and made whole. And it says in the next verse, the Pharisees went out and held a council how they might destroy him. Now, many times he passed through their hands, but now it was the Lord's hour, the time that God had appointed from all eternity that the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life. As we read in John 10, "I lay down my life for the sheep." They did, and they could not arrest the Lord without God's determinate decree. As Peter said to him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And all this happened, we know, to fulfill Scripture. In Psalm 2, it's recorded that the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, we have the full explanation of that, that Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Jews and the Gentiles were gathered together for to do whatsoever God's hand, God's counsel determined before to be done. So we can always say the death and atonement and the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ did not happen by accident. This was the time, the hour, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under that law. This is God's appointed hour. This is the hour of our salvation. This is when Our sin was put away by the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time when He justified us by His blood. This is the time in which He put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It's a special time. It's a special hour. Always has been. Now, what can we learn from these verses that are given to us by the inspiration of God, as all Scripture is? The things I see here, number one, is this. And we can't dismiss this. We see on full display the wickedness of humanity doing its worst against God's best, the Son of God. When they had the Son of God in their midst, rather than worship Him or bow to Him, they spit in His face, mocked Him, beat Him, ridiculed Him, made fun of Him, and we see our own wicked, sinful nature acting out unrestrained. You say, well, I'd never do that. You would too. You'd be right there with that crowd, yelling away with them, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. Apart from God's restraining grace, you'd be right there. You'd be right there taking part of that. We see and we learn from the Scriptures that there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes you. Yes, it does. The carnal mind is yet enmity against God. Always has been, always will. Ever since Adam's sin, ever since Adam's fall, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The gospel of God is pure foolishness unto the natural man. They mocked His message. They mocked His message. They mocked His person. You imagine spitting in the face of God? That's you. That's me. That's how vile we are, wretched. You imagine taking your hand and smacking the Son of God, God Himself, in the face, putting a blindfold on Him and say, you're a great prophet, tell us who hit you. How wicked we are. You know, you really don't believe. You know, it's one thing to give assent, mental assent to the doctrine of depravity, total depravity, but it's quite another matter to say, I am totally depraved. This flesh is nothing but rotten and stinking flesh in the sight of God Almighty. You'll never seek mercy until God teaches you that lesson. They mocked Him in His person. They mocked Him as a prophet of God. And we do the same thing. Now, here's the lesson for us. If you're a lover and a believer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, right now, if you're a lover of His person, who He is, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, if you're a lover and believer of the gospel and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as He's altogether lovely, if you're a lover of His office as the Christ of God, prophet, priest, and king, and I'll tell you what that is in just a minute. If you are a lover of Him, a believer of the gospel, and have submitted unto His lordship, it's only because of His sovereign will and His sovereign purpose given to you. You didn't figure this out. The gospel comes by revelation, the revelation of God. Left to ourselves, we never would have believed the gospel. Left to ourselves, we never would have loved and believed the truth as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would never submit to His sovereign will. We would continue to reject the counsel of God against our own selves and say, we have no king but Caesar. We will not have him to reign over us. Now, we see clearly how wicked humanity is. Over here in chapter 23, it says that Pilate delivered the Lord Jesus to their will. What will the man? What will the will of men do unrestrained? They'll nail the Son of God to a cruel tree and laugh about it and mock him. That's how wicked we are. The second thing I see is this. The Lord of glory patiently, willingly submitted to the cruel hatred of men. Now, he could have put this bunch, as he did when they came to arrest him, when they came forth and said, when the Lord said to them, when they came forth and the Lord said, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." You remember they all fell backward, as it says in John 18. But here we see the Lord Jesus Christ willingly submitting unto the will of God. Remember he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." We read in John chapter 10 where the Lord said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The Lord of glory, our Savior, our righteousness, our salvation, willingly submitted to the cruel hatred of men, willingly submitted to the sovereign will of God to accomplish our salvation. That's our hope. That's our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a Lamb of God, as a sacrifice of God, was led as a sheep to the slaughter. You remember what it says in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He submitted willingly to the cruel hatred of men, but more importantly, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, willingly submitting himself unto death to accomplish our salvation, to accomplish redemption for us. Now, I want to consider here these two questions, as it's found there in verse 67 and again in verse 70. "Art thou the Christ? Tell us. Tell us." Now, remember what we read back in John 10. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. The Jews came round about him and said to him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And the Lord said, I've told you before, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. Now the Lord of glory had told them plainly that he is the Christ, and all the works that the Father gave him to do, to finish and to complete, every type and picture, every promise of the Old Testament is fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his substitutionary death. "Art thou the Christ?" That was the question they put to him that day. The question could have been answered fully and truthfully with an answer of yes or no. They could have said yes, or he could have said no. In that sense. But the Lord in his infinite wisdom says, "You shall see the Son of Man," look at verse 69, "You shall see the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God," sitting on the throne of God. So what's he saying? He is saying, "Yes, I am the Christ, because one day when I accomplish salvation, that I will sit down where I came from before, from the throne of glory." Now, if you will find the book of Hebrews, turn over to the book of Hebrews. And we see here, in these last days, Hebrews 1:1. "God, who in sundry times and divers matters spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. And when he ascended to glory, what happened? He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, declaring that he is the Son of God, declaring that he is the promised Messiah sent of God to accomplish our salvation. Now, in the book of Hebrews, find chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Who is he? The Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Is he the Christ? Absolutely. Did he accomplish our salvation? Absolutely. How do we know that? That grave is empty. Look over at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. He came forth from the tomb the third day. We're going to study in Luke 23 and verse 24. He's raised up the third day because he accomplished salvation and put away our sin. Now, Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. Now, you can't get any higher than sitting on the throne of God as God. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Is he the Christ of God? Tell us. Yes, he is. How do we know that? Well, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, how do we know that? How do I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is on, literally, the God-man mediator in his bodily presence as a real man is seated on the throne of God? How do we know that? How can I be assured that that is so? We just read it. I believe what God says in his word. Now, he is the anointed of God in all of his office. He is a prophet to reveal God. Remember, God said to Moses, he promised that God would send a prophet to reveal the things of God to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is that prophet. He's the prophet I need. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babe. He is the prophet I need to teach me the gospel. Secondly, he's not only the anointed prophet, he's the anointed priest. I got to have a high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is that high priest sent of God. He is that high priest who didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice. He brought his own blood. Not we are redeemed, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. He obtained eternal redemption for us as our great high priest. We need a prophet, we need a priest, we need a king. All in all of his office as prophet, priest, and king, as the Christ of God, as the Messiah of God, as the anointed of God. He is our king. What does a king do? Well, he rules and he reigns. The Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, over in John chapter 6, you can turn there if you would like. If not, I'll just read it to you. When many walked away from the Lord, and the Lord said in verse 67, John 6, he said, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and we are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." We believe and we are sure you're the Christ of God. In Matthew 16, don't turn there, but let me just read this to you. In Matthew 16, when the Lord asked Peter, "But Peter, whom do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art that Christ. Peter preached at Pentecost, "This same Jesus whom you had crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ." Now, What do you think of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you personally, in your heart, before God, think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that rock and roll song back in the 60s? Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just okay, you know. He's more than just okay to a believer. He is everything. Everything. You see, to the believer, He's all our salvation. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He is all in salvation. He is all in providence. Christ is all and in all. Is He that to you? Is He some of your salvation or all of it? Is He some of your righteousness or all of it? To the believer, it's a no-brainer. To the believer, it's a no-doubter. Yes, He is my Christ. We can say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the Christ of God. That's the revelation of the gospel. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second question they ask Him, art thou then the Son of God? And He said to them, you say that because I am. Now over in Mark 14, don't turn, let me just read this to you. Again, the high priest asked Him and said unto Him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And the Lord Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. He is the eternal Son of God. Now, if you want to find Romans 1, you can turn there if you want to. If not, I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, where we see that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, Romans 1, 1, you with me? Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Notice He's made the God-man, the seed of David, according to the flesh. That's according to the Word of God. And He declared to be the Son of God with power. Now, He's not made the Son of God. He declared to be what He is. He became what He was not, flesh, but He always remained what He is. God Almighty, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection declares that He is God, that He accomplished all that God sent Him to do. Our Lord said, He that has seen Me has seen the Father, as we read in John chapter 10. And the religious folks, they didn't like that. They picked up stones to stone Him again. When He declared that He is the Messiah, that He is the Christ of God. That's the natural man's response to the deity and lordship of Christ. He must give us grace and faith to bow and submit unto Him. Now, again, do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the very God of very God? Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, that He is God Almighty? Then you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what the gospel declares. He is God over all. We read in Romans and studied in Romans 9, remember? Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Ever. Now, do you trust Him as God our Savior? Do you look to Him for all salvation? Now, you might be thinking, is it really that important? How important is it that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, God our Savior, in human flesh, the only begotten Son of God? Is it really that important? Can I just believe He's a prophet like Muhammad? Is it really necessary that I believe that He is God, the Christ, the Son of God? Is it really that necessary? Well, let's see what God says about that. Turn over here to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 20. John chapter 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. They couldn't touch Him till His hour was come, till He submitted unto them by the will of God. Then said Jesus again unto them, this is John 8, 21, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will He kill Himself, because He saith, whether I go, you cannot come? And the Lord said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Look at verse 24 carefully. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Wow. Lord, give me faith to trust Thee as all of my salvation. Now, two scriptures. I'll quote them to you and then we'll be through. In 1 John 5:1, it says this, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. If you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the very Christ of God, the anointed, the Messiah, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means God has given you, regenerated you, given you life in Christ. The second question is this, or the second scripture rather is this, in 1 John 5:4, verse 4 and 5, that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Thanks be unto God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that he's the Christ of God? Is he your Christ? Is he your Savior? Do you believe he is God, our Savior? Yes, saving faith does believe that. May the Lord bless us to hear and receive the word of the Lord. May God give us faith to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. Our Lord, it's recorded in His word, he that believeth on the Son hath life. Eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sin. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God abides upon him. Well, two vital questions. I pray the Lord will bless that to your heart.